greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight right here on WWCR 5070 around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South. Glad to have you in here tonight. Got a great program for you. I want you to stay tuned with the title of Jerusalem, the ticking time bomb. Jerusalem, the vortex of the past and the vortex of the future. Now, what does it mean, Pastor Buddy, when we talk about Jerusalem, that place, that city, world famous, world renowned, and it's actually been a burden to the nations, particularly the nations that are involved in the makeup of what we call the seed of Abraham. We're going to visit that and talk about that and look at some of the things that we could possibly dig out of the burden stone. The most explosive and fought over and disputed piece of real estate in the world. And it's about to get very, very, very explosive. Now, let's go to Zechariah chapter 12. And in that day, Yahweh speaking, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. Through all of the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Now, why would all the people of the earth be gathered together against Jerusalem? Well, again, the focal point and the genetic offspring of those who claim a source of attachment to a city that they call holy. Well, is it holy? Well, we're going to review some of those things and try to put some type of reality in this burdensome stone that Zechariah wrote when the Temple Mount is the most likely place where the stones start getting thrown today. And they're throwing them right here within sight of the place where Christians call a sacred site, Jews call a sacred site, and Muslims call a sacred site. So, what about Ishmael? Where did his seed come from, Pastor Buddy? Well, it's evident that they are the offspring of Abraham and Hagar. And the Bible talks about some of the prophetic things about that seed and its usage. Now, if Yahweh chose Abraham and blessed him, and the first son of Abraham's strength is Ishmael. Actually, Abraham was 86 years old when he had Ishmael. He was far advanced in age. And Ishmael, through the jealousy of Sarah, Abraham's barren wife, at this time she was still barren when Hagar produced a son for Abraham, and she forced that son out of the family. And animosities have grown between the families of these three that I'm speaking about tonight. And it's just natural for the three seeds, the genetics, to war and to fight and to argue about possession and rights of ownership of this sacred real estate that people claim to be holy. Well, the Bible speaks of Jerusalem as Sodom, a place where it is recorded in Revelations that the Messiah, Yahweh, Yeshua in the flesh body, was crucified. And so is it important to the real Christians? The ones that really know are those that call themselves Jews that are now in
Jerusalem and roundabout, are they really from the house of Israel? Well, we know that Jacob, the offspring of Isaac, who was the birthright son from Sarah, she finally had a son in her old age. She was 90 years old, and Abraham was 99 when Isaac was born, and he comes into the picture. Now, remember, Ishmael's already in the picture, and with those in the picture, we only have the Jews who claim to be out of the house of Judah, that they have a rightful ownership of Jerusalem along with Ishmael's seed, the Arabs, and the Christians have a vested interest in it through their claim that they believe in the Messiah that came back 2,000 years ago. And so then the war just keeps on, and it keeps on getting stronger and stronger over this issue of the burdensome stone that Zechariah wrote about here in the 12th chapter of the book of Zechariah. Well, let's take a look, if you will, at some of the prophetic utterances that Yahweh has given us that we could see exactly why that the book of Zechariah is so timely in the 12th chapter. And in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanliness. Now, we know that that would be the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah, who the Christians worship as the Son of God. Well, basically, we have all the ingredients in here for a time bomb, the vortex. Jerusalem is a vortex, both in the past and certainly coming together in the future. Let's look around in the surrounding nations here and see why that we're going to have a war in the Middle East. I've long prophesied that the enemy, Satan, and if you'll go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, you'll see that Paul spoke about a power of darkness. Now, the powers of darkness are the ordained powers that are ruling in the earth today, and they are hell-bent on the agenda that they have, and they have an evil thought in their mind, which is to remove probably somewhere upwards of 3 to 4 billion people from the earth through a massive all-out, and this would have to involve nuclear war, because it's mentioned also in the book of Revelation that Yahweh himself will be forced, just like it was in Genesis chapter 6, to intervene upon the family affairs of the people of the earth, both good and bad, and for the sake of the earth not being completely destroyed. Because it says in the text here in Revelations that he's coming back to destroy them that destroy the earth. Now, remember this again. He's coming back, and this scripture that we find in the book of Revelations, again, is in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelations. And here's what it says as we read again. And their dead bodies, this is the two witnesses, their bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord Yahweh was crucified. Now, that don't sound like a holy city to me. And the scriptures indicate that it's not. And again, it is called Sodom and Egypt, where also Yahweh was crucified. Well, what about that, Pastor Buddy? Is he coming back to destroy them that destroy the earth? Well, let's see here in verse 18. And the nations were angry, and the wrath of Yahweh had come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou should give reward to the servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Well, the Bible talks about the earth is made to be inhabited by the righteous. And if there is a complete destruction of the earth, that can't happen. So then, the Bible predicts that there is going to be a divine intervention in a time of trouble. And this time of trouble, again, is mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. And it's a time of Jacob's trouble. Now, let's talk about Jacob out of one of those three families. Again, he had 12 sons. And one of those sons was Judah. So then, Judah became a house divided from the house of Israel. So we have two houses here to contend with, or we have what is known in the book of Ezekiel and Jeremiah as the two sticks. And the Bible prophesied a time in the future when those two sticks will become one. So there's a lot of prophecy, ladies and gentlemen, that are still to be determined upon the world and the nations thereof. And so then the wheels of justice and the wheels of prophecy, they turn exceedingly slow, because as the old saying, Rome wasn't built in a day, but it can be destroyed overnight. And that's basically what's going on here. When the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled, said the holy city will be tread down until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Well, who's the Gentiles? Don't the seed of Ishmael, don't they belong in the Middle East? Don't they have a right to coexist? Isn't it the Jews who in 1948 was given a mandate through the British mandate of the Balfour Declaration, supported by the United Nations and finally approved, that the Jews would have a homeland? And since then, since 1948, we've had a powder keg in the Middle East of contention among the seed and the remnants of three different families. The seed of Ishmael, the Muslims, and those who consider Mohammed to be their prophet. And we have the Christians, who considers the risen Messiah, Christ. They call him Jesus in the New Testament. His name was Yahweh, for sure in the Aramaic. And we have the Jews, who are fitting into the picture. Now, they don't even acknowledge Ishmael as to being the heir of that region, and they certainly don't acknowledge a risen Savior. They're Antichrist, meaning that they don't accept a risen Savior. And yet, out of this, there is the Christians who have figured out that they believe that the house of Judah, the ones that call themselves the Jews, that these are God's chosen people. But are they? Well, let's look at a couple of scriptures here. We've talked about these scriptures, and these are powerful. And it was spoken by the Messiah himself. He said, I know them that say they're Jews and are not, but are liars. We know that it was the Jews, the Edomites. Not the house of Judah, which is part of the house of Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, there's so much that could be explored in these scriptures, as in Jeremiah chapter 24. When we look into those scriptures, we find that there is a division of, even in the book of Jeremiah, of the fig tree, and Israel is portrayed as the fig tree. And if she is, then here is what the Bible says about the fig tree. There is a segment of those who are evil, though they be fig trees. Let's talk about it here in the 24th chapter. Read with me, if you will, 24 and 1. And Yahweh showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of Yahweh, after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jeconiah, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and the smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that were first ripe. Now these came out of the land of Israel, out of the land of Jerusalem. It says, these are the good figs, one basket of very good figs, and the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten, that they were so bad. And then said Yahweh unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And Jeremiah said, figs. The good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten, they are so evil. And again the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, thus saith Yahweh, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans, for they are good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land. Now, right here is a prophecy of the return of the good figs. Well, what about the bad figs? Well, let's read here. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yahweh, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall return unto me with their whole heart. But as for the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely thus saith Yahweh, that I will give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse, and in all places where I shall drive them, and I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them till they be consumed from out of the land which I have given them and to their fathers. Well, now what's that prophecy mean, Pastor Buddy? Well, that means, ladies and gentlemen, that the good figs were to be removed and sent back to the land that they had been removed from by Nebuchadnezzar. 70 years after their bondage, they were to return to Jerusalem for a sign of the house of Judah. And the bad figs were to be removed and scattered and enter the Khazars. Now, these bad figs were the mixture of those that the Bible talks about that were mixed and mingled into the house of Israel from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, and verse 38, where he said that there come a mixed multitude out of the land of Egypt. Well, who are these? Well, they were the bad figs. And they were to be removed or scattered in other nations. And these figs would be the scorns and the curse of all the earth. And likely so, ladies and gentlemen, we have the old switcheroo by Satan, who is very wise. In times, men and women forgot about the covenant. Now let me refresh your memory of the covenant. Yahweh told Abraham he would make his seed as the sand of the seas, and scatter them throughout the earth. Well, we know that Israel was removed in 721 B.C. And as it is stated here in the book of 1 Samuel, that they were to never return to the land of Israel. Now, isn't that strange that they would, Moreover, he said, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. Now, this is not Judah. Here is 721 B.C., and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own. So the house of Israel became what we know as the lost sheep that was spoken of in the 15th chapter of the book of the New Testament by the Messiah himself when he instructed those sons that had returned from Babylon. These were the good figs. And they were to go and hunt the lost sheep of the house of Israel. 721 B.C., that they would be removed and that they would appoint them a place and will plant them that they may dwell and they will not be removed anymore. So they are to be removed, and that's the Caucasian house of Jacob. The ones that crossed the Caucasus and became known as a Western white European people who would receive the distinctive honor of being called Caucasian. Now, these are the lost sheep, or the 10 northern tribes of the house of Israel. Now, only two tribes, the house of Israel and the house of Benjamin, which miscegenated into the house of Judah, remained in the land. So then, we find that there was a faction of those evil ones, those who crucified our Messiah, because they didn't know who he was. They would not receive him. They knew who he was, but they would not receive him. And they said, come, let us kill this man, because he's the heir of all of the spiritual blessings that Yahweh had distinctively promised through covenant that he would give his people. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Jerusalem is the geographic place with this spiritual significance, even in the time that we live in. And so then, it is now what is known as a vortex of spiritual and physical energy, both past and present, that will become very prevalent upon the world scene in just a few days down the road. Well, let's talk about what have we got here. We got two warring factions with the support of the third faction, which is the Christians, which think that those people in Jerusalem right now are the sons of Judah. And in reality, they are not. And we're going to tell you how that the switch was made and the lost sheep have not been found, including the house of Judah. Did you know that the house of Judah was finally removed from the land in 586 B.C.? And that they were not to return, as it's recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10 that I just read, never to return. Never to return. Well, then, what's all the fight about? What about this holy city where the Messiah was crucified, which is called Sodom and Egypt? And so then, the three seeds that are warring over this territory are deceived, or they are involved in the greatest art of spiritual powers and wickedness in high places. Is it a plan of the devil to destroy the world? I think so. You know why? Because if he can't rule it, and if he can't have it, he is going to work in anything that will let him. And ladies and gentlemen, right today, Satan and his power is gathering the forces and the armies of the earth to do battle in Jerusalem. Now, let me show you some of the complexities of the area that we're talking about. Right at this moment, a nation that is named Israel, which is not Israel. This is not Israel in the Middle East. Israel is scattered abroad, never to return. But there are a people who lies that call themselves Jews who have come in from the southern slopes of Russia between the Black and the Caspian Sea. In the 8th century, these are the mongrels, and they were of Turkish descent, by the way. They became convinced that Judaism, the religion of Judaism, would be their best chance to keep their people organized. And they accepted the Jewish religion in the 8th century A.D. And they became known in Europe, throughout Europe, as the Gypsies, roving gangs of Gypsies that followed the Jewish religion. Now, these are the ones that were hated and despised, and 27 countries in Europe actually banned their presence in their countries, and yet they still succeeded becoming a viable force, and finally in 1948 they were granted a homeland, and to rid them, Europe, to rid Europe of this plague and this curse, which is mentioned in the book of Jeremiah as the evil figs. Now remember, they have a long history going back with the true house of the good figs. And so they were well aware of the religion of Judah and the trained priesthood. And so then they had the advantage over the other religions because they were trained by the good figs. Although they were bad and they weren't allowed to return to build the temple, that's the one that Solomon had built, they were granted permission to rebuild it. And it lasted up until we find Herod the Edomite running the land of Judah when Christ came on the scene. It's mentioned in Matthew chapter 2. And in Matthew chapter 2, it states that Herod the king, the Edomite, he was a Jew, ladies and gentlemen. He practiced the Jewish religion, but the only problem, he wasn't a true good fig. He was one of the evil figs that had crept in unaware, and the Bible says that Satan has a seat among the elite because that he would favor or he would seek out and choose the chief seats of the rulers, and Christ identified them as the Pharisees and the scribes that loved the chief seats in the synagogue, and these are the very one that killed him. These are the ones that hated him. And if you ever have the opportunity to read out of the book of the Talmud, the teaching of the evil figs, they will tell you how they despise this man that the Christians worship as the true Messiah, that they are enemies of the Christian faith, and yet Christians have been persuaded that God has blinded their eyes, as they read here in the book of Romans, in chapter 11, and we will turn there just in a moment for your benefit to show you exactly how that we have been deceived by those who call themselves Jews and are not. What shall I say then? Hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. Now this is Paul. I am the seed of Abraham, one of these warring seeds that's warred in the Middle East, the Christian, the Jew, and the Arab, or the house of Ishmael. These are the three warring seeds that will bring about the utter possible destruction, simply because, number one, the Jews are not who they say they are, and the Christians are deceived into thinking that these are God's chosen people there in the Middle East. And so through this deception, Satan will engineer, through the animosity between the three seeds that are claiming this holy place as a worship place, God hath not cast away his people. Now remember, he's an Israelite. He didn't say he was a Jew. He was an Israelite. There's a difference between the Israelite and those who call themselves Jews and are not, but are liars. And the Bible says that we should flee away from them. Hath God cast away his people, which he foreknew? What? Not, have you not read that which the Scripture has said of Elijah? How did he make strong intercession to God against Israel, saying, Yahweh, they have killed your prophets, they have digged down your altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of Yahweh unto him? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men who have not bowed to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is talking about Israel. It's not talking about those who call themselves Jews and are not, but are liars and are there for the purpose of destroying the earth. And we could very likely have World War III coming up just in a short matter of time, that the possibility looms that they could destroy the earth through the deceit that Satan has set of people amongst the Christians and the seed of Ishmael, that call themselves Jews and are not, are liars. But before I speak to the Gentiles, inasmuch that I am the apostle of the Gentiles, this is Paul in 11:13, I magnify my office, if by any means that I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, the Israelites, and that might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be to life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, Israel, then the root is holy, Israel, and so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and they be in a wild olive tree. Now see, there's no fig tree here, ladies and gentlemen. The consensus of Christians is that he's going to graft the olive tree into the fig tree, or the fig tree into the olive tree, and that ain't going to work. Because this is the olive tree which was grafted in among them, and which with them partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bowerest not the root, but the root thee. Where did all of the good figs go when they returned from the land of Babylon? That's a good question. Well, let's review that. You remember what Christ said to those good figs who received him not? When he walked among them, and when they hated him and despised him, and they were encouraged by the Edomite Jews to kill him, do you know what he said? He says, just a few days down the road, they shall be an army come and destroy this city and this place, and you will be carried captive to all nations. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that happened in 70 A.D. It didn't happen back in 586 when the bad figs and the good figs. It was the good figs that returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, which Christ stood in and stood against, by the way, because it had been infiltrated by the evil serpent seed, the Edomites, those who claimed to be Jews and are not. And for the punishment of those who knew him not, the Bible said he came to his own, and his own received him not. For that punishment, in 70 A.D., he drove out all of the the true house of Judah and scattered them along with the house of Israel, who he says in the last days shall be grafted in together, and those two sticks, the house of Judah and the house of Israel, will become one stick once again in his hand, and he will bless them, open their eyes, and they will be saved. Now, let's read on here. For the sake of time, let me drop down to the 25th verse. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it indeed is a mystery. And one of the most astounding mysteries is the wrong concepts and the wrong understanding of Christians being deceived that they're supporting a people that claim to be God's chosen people, and in truth they are not. And when these people are destroyed, you say, well, heavens forbid, Pastor Buddy, then God would lose Jerusalem, and that's not what he wants. Well, really? Well, let's read on. I would not have you ignorant of this mystery, at least you should be wise in your conceit, that blindness in part, has happened to Israel. Now, the Christians are taught in the bell box churches that it's the Jews that were blinded. Here it says it was the house of Israel that was blinded, and that they would be blind until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, the Gentiles is Strong's number 1482 and 83, which means an ethnos, or a particular people, and these are the ones who are referred to in Matthew chapter 15 as the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so the lost sheep are not the Jews in present-day Palestine that are killing and mangling the house of Abraham through Ishmael. Ladies and gentlemen, there is going to be dire consequences in a few days because we have some problems that must be addressed. And this problem is that the Arab or the Ishmael seed will have a sword by promise and by covenant, that Yahweh said that the seed of Ishmael will be a wild man, and the sword will be in his hand and his seed forever. And so if that's the case, there is not enough of those who call themselves Jews to shake the sword out of the hand of Ishmael. Ishmael will do what the dumb, blind Israelites, or the house of Jacob, the house of Shem, the house of Isaac, which is a half-brother, if you will, to Ishmael. And yet we have the other son in here, which I believe is a Manzer, and that would be Esau and the house of Edom. These are the strong ones who would produce kings in the earth to sit on thrones. And ladies and gentlemen, they're sitting now in the ownership even of the United States government has been turned over to the Edomites to run this country as they see fit. Billions of dollars, literally trillions, if you will, is being poured into the Middle East to shore up or to prop up a people who claim to be God's chosen people, and they're liars, and they are not, and they have deceived the whole Christian world into thinking that they're God's chosen people, when in reality they are not. And here is what the Bible says. Be not ignorant of this mystery. This is the greatest con job that the wisdom of Satan and the false prophets in the bellbox churches of Christianity. And so then we have what is known as the three unclean spirits, like frogs, coming out of the mouth of the beast and the mouth of the false prophet. We have what is known as Islam, the religion of Islam, which favors their warriors to pretend or to protect their properties and to die for their cause, and they will readily die. And then we have the Jews, who believe that this land was the master land that they have a right to. And then we have those Christians who support, not the Arabs. There is little support in the white Western European Caucasian house of Israel, the sheep, the lost sheep, scattered abroad. There's little support for my message tonight favoring the house of Ishmael over those who claim to be Jews and are not. And rightfully so, because their eyes are blinded. Let's read. For all Israel shall be saved, as is written. There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, as according or to the gospel, according to the gospel, that they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. For as in times past they have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Now, that is those who today are in unbelief. They're blind. They can't see this reality and truth. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. And so those white Western Europeans that are supporting those who say they are Jews and are not, these are the ones that are deceived, and rightfully so. But in this case, all Israel, even to those who are blinded and can't see this truth, there's a remnant that can see it, and it has to be so. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is spoken, that there shall always be a remnant before Yahweh to keep this truth going. And so then, this is the great dilemma that we have in the Middle East. A ticking time bomb. Are we going to have nuclear war there, Pastor Buddy? Well, if the times of trouble for Jacob, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, if those times are so great that there won't be any flesh saved, and Christ spoke about it in Matthew chapter 24, except those days be shortened. He wasn't talking about the world, because He Himself said that when He returns, that the world will be eating and drinking and being merry and being deceived. So then there's a large segment of the population of the world that will be alive, not dead. Some people think that Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, is speaking about a time of trouble, and Christ was referring to it when He said there would be no flesh except those days be shortened. He was talking about the true house of Israel. Except that day be shortened. And that the blindness would be removed from the eyes of Israel, that Israel could not be saved as long as it's blind. And yet for the grace of the thing, Yahweh's going to save them despite their objection, despite their blindness, despite their stupidity in supporting the people that claim to be God's chosen people and are not. Yahweh is long-suffering and has a plan. And Satan right now is gathering the forces over the vortex of the land of Jerusalem, the city that the war is being fought about, this holy place, with the three seeds that I have mentioned, the Arab of Muslim persuasion, the Jew who is the bad pig, who says he's a Jew and is not, and the Christian that support these Jews as God's chosen people and are not, and that's because they're blind. And so there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the dilemma that those who know the truth, even to those who have believed, and those who have walked upright to serve Him and to honor Him and to keep the covenant for They are the natural branches, and those natural branches who have their eyes open to warn all of those that are blind. It's hard to lead the blind, because the Bible said if a blind lead the blind, they both go in a ditch. And so if there's two seeds here, and both of these seeds are blind, blind by choice, ladies and gentlemen, God has blinded blindness in part. That's happened to Israel. And that is for the times of the Gentiles to be fulfilled. For if Israel ever wakes up, if Israel ever comes to their senses, if Israel wipes out the blindness from their eyes and beholds the truth of the matter, then they're going to know that those who claim to be Jews and are not, does the seed of Ishmael know it? Well, probably they do. Because to Abraham and to his seed remains a covenant, and God swore to Abraham that the sword, now this is a war-making people, a people that think it's an honor to die for Allah, their God. They have been taught that Allah is their God. Of course, this is not correct, but they believe it's strong enough to die for it. And how hardly it is that a man die for someone else. And yet they will gladly die in honor of defending their people against those who claim to be Jews and are not, but are liars. Now, you say, Pastor Buddy, what about the Khazars? Well, the Khazars, coming down through the southern slopes of Russia and into Europe in times past, have now been given a homeland. And by the blindness of our kings and our men that made this Balfour Declaration that a homeland could be established for them that they thought were Jews and are not. And so, actually, we have placed the people that claim to be Jews into a land that we thought was a land of milk and honey, or a great and a powerful covenant people. We have placed, unsuspecting and unknowingly, we have planted the abomination that maketh desolate. Ladies and gentlemen, need I say more? Abomination, now that we have an affiliation of kings now sitting in the throne or the seat of power, that they will make all these decisions based upon the ignorance and the fear and the superstitious and that which seems right. And these decisions will turn out to be disastrous. It is a time of trouble, and it's a cup of trembling that he's given for these evil kings who are children of the darkness, ladies and gentlemen. For God hath concluded them in unbelief. And those who know not the times of their visitation were cast out of the land that we now claim to be sacred and holy. You know where the holy lands are? Wherever God's people reside. You know what the Bible says, and there's so much talk about the temple, and there is going to be a blind people, and Christians included, to support it, that they will try to build a temple at the Temple Mount. And they will try to have this temple seat for the Messiah when he returns. And we have Christians that are talking about the rapture. They know that trouble's coming. And Christians have got this preconceived ideal of the rapture, that they're going to get out of here. They're not going to be involved in this. That God is going to be merciful to them. He's going to lift all the Christians that are ready to be raptured out. He's going to lift them out of this debacle. And they're going to escape what is known as Armageddon or the tribulation. Ladies and gentlemen, all this is blind concepts. All of this is false, and all of this is part of the evil persuasion that was manufactured by the bad figs that left Babylon thousands of years ago to be dispersed into the earth and finally accepted because they kept the religion of Judah and have now become known as Jews, God's holy people, who say they are, but are not, but are liars. Christ addressed it and alluded to it, that His people, the blind house of Israel, would be deceived until, and blind, until the times of the Gentiles would be fulfilled. Coming up, ladies and gentlemen, a time of trouble. Jerusalem, a burdensome stone, where a time of trouble, such as the world has never seen, is coming back in force. Now this mighty Yah, whose name is Yahweh, and written 6,823 times in the old parchment, is this great and most magnificent and magnanimous name in the Hebrew language that the house of Israel, blind as they are, could at some time in the near future have their eyes opened, and that they would call upon this great name, and that Yahweh, the loving, merciful, and graceful mighty one that He is, would hear their plea and their cry. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call out to Him tonight, you can do so. You can simply write, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now let me give it to you again very slowly. Just address your cards and letters to Pastor Buddy. I'll give you information free of charge to tell you how that you can anoint your eyes with eyesight and wake up to the reality of who's who and who's a Jew. Yahweh wants you to wake up in the last day. Time is running out. We're in a time of trouble. You need to be delivered. And the only way that you can get delivered, ladies and gentlemen, is to call upon His great name. Well, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to call my sponsor tonight, Dr. Gary, down in the great state of Louisiana, between the business hours of 9 to 5 Central Time, that's 1-877-289-7439. That's Dr. Gary, a great man who can give you much information. If you'd like to contact Brother Paul for StemTech, it's a wonderful product, ladies and gentlemen. I use it myself. 1-800-253-2748. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the old time on the clock is telling this pastor that he's got to get out of here tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night, live on WWRB 3.185. Now, that's WWRB 3.185 on Clear Channel around the world on our broadcast station of WWRB. I'll be on tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Now, that's Eastern Standard Time on Monday night. Every Monday night, Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call on WWRB 3.185, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 Central. So, make a note of that and don't miss tomorrow night. We've got a great program lined up for you tomorrow night. You listen in. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call me again, area code 423-626-2172. And if you'd like to write me, you can write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. I'll see you next Sunday night live here on WWCR 5070.
around the world on the transmitting Jewel South with Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Until then, anoint your eyes with eye salve and be ye also ready, for you know not what time the Son of Man is coming, ladies and gentlemen. May it be in peace for you. And to that I say, Yahweh bless you.
Thank you.